Court to order. Welcome to the Commissioner's Court this morning. If we would all stand together. Do we have a volunteer, someone who would come up to the microphone and do our invocation for us? Yes, thank you. And then we'll do our pledges.
You guys join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We just thank you for this day. Father, we just ask that you would forgive us
of our sins. Lord, we praise you, and we just pray that every decision made here at Commissioner's Court today would glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. And you may be seated. If we would let the record reflect that all are present this morning. And then as we come to, I'm going to need a motion on approval of the Commissioner's Court. There are a couple of items, though, that are duplicates that in this would like to include and like to remove, and that is under County Clerk A and County Clerk B. We've already approved these minutes, and so they're just a duplicate. Move with modifications. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. At this time, we give our citizens an opportunity to come forward and share if they have any particular items that they'd like to discuss or talk about, that they'd like to comment on, if you will, on either the consent or open agenda. Understand that if you come forward, if you would give us your name, what your concern is, and then you've got 3 minutes to talk about those things. Now, I know that we do have a, there are a number of people who are here today from the towing community. One of the things that I would like to do, if we could, is if we could, as we have you on an item on the agenda so that the information is fresh when we get to it at the end, if we could hold your comments until that time. Would that be all right with y'all? But if there are other comments that we would like to make, any of you would like to make concerning any item on the open agenda, the consent agenda, now is your opportunity to do so. Are there any? All right, then let's move forward. At this time, we have a presentation that's honoring George Herzog. Jason?
As most of y'all probably do know by now, that Wednesday morning at Precinct 2, we got a phone call that we weren't expecting, that one of our longtime, steadfast employees at Precinct 2 has passed away. So we spent Thursday, Friday, and some of Saturday with the family. We put together a presentation that we wanted to present to the court this morning, and I would introduce all of the Herzog family, but we don't have the time to do that. And I don't remember all their names, but I do know his wife Nancy's with us, and his son-in-laws and his daughter and sons are here. So, yeah, would y'all please stand up so y'all can be recognized?
There we go. That's beautiful.
Yes, I couldn't remember who all was here and who all wasn't here. But this is the family that is very special to Precinct 2, more especially now. They always have been. But we'll always treasure George and what he's done for this county and what he's done for Precinct 2 and what he's done for all of us. So we'd like to present this presentation in honor of the family and of
George. I'm George Herzog, and I'm a supervisor for the Great All Crews at Precinct 2. I've lived in Montgomery County my whole life. My grandparents bought the property we live on in January of 1919. My dad was born in December 1919, and with our grandchildren, two of our children and their families live on the farm, so it's a fifth generation on our farm, and we live about 15 miles north of Magnolia here. There's been people on the side of the road that had a wreck and in fact, and we came along when a grandmother and her two children just had flipped over on the side in the ditch, and me and my coworker helped them get out. The car was upside down, and she was taking her grandchildren to school, so it was early in the morning. The road was real slick, and she was coming around a curve.
I don't know what else to say after that, other than George will be dearly missed, sorely missed, and he'll never be replaced. But we thank you again for allowing George to be with us for 25 plus years, and he will live on. And we thank y'all very much. We know that, and we loved him back, I promise you.
Commissioner.
So thank y'all for coming.
Can I say something? If I could just say something, as I just asked the commissioner, because he's been overseeing this, as I think about this and think about y'all being here, you know, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the earth. It's the first commandment in the New Testament, says, with a promise. And the fact that you all are here and are honoring him, God is watching and is so pleased that you're here. And it's such a testimony to all of us that you've taken the time to come here and honor him. And it tells us volumes about his character. So, again, on behalf of all of us, as the judge, I want to thank you. And thank you, Commissioner.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
God bless y'all. Bless you. Thank you.
All right. As we move forward, do I have a motion to approve County Clerk C and D previous minutes?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We move to our consent agenda. Gentlemen, are there any modifications to the consent agenda that you would like to make?
Need to defer on page 8, 10L3A and 10L2A.
Okay, I've got the same defer, so that's good. Okay, is there anything else?
Say that again, Commissioner.
Page 8. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Page 8, 10L2A and 3A are two items.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah.
All right, is there anything else? All right, sir, then.
Move with those changes.
Move with these changes. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, let's move to our open agenda. Court will consider, discuss, and in its discretion take action on the following items. Item 11A, under the county judge, consider, discuss, approve a resolution order renewing and extending the declaration of local disaster issued for public health emergency for a period of additional 30 days to expire on March 11th. We've been doing this each month since the beginning of the pandemic, and I ask that we would have a motion to do that today.
Move.
Second. Aye. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Emergency Management, Jason Millsaps.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Item 11A, I wanted to give you guys an update where we were, what has taken place in the last 2 weeks since last court. In the last couple weeks, the Biden administration has authorized a FEMA claim for vaccine distribution-related expenses. That's at 100%, so that's a FEMA PA claim for PW FEMA reimbursement at 100%. That's why you'll start seeing that project code on agenda items going forward. Since the last court, Montgomery County OEM and staff has managed two vaccine hubs. They both have been open simultaneously, which to date we've done 12,114 vaccinations out of those two hubs. These hubs are at the fairgrounds with Lone Star Family Health and Public Health District, and then at St. Luke's Hospital in the Woodlands with St. Luke's. OEM's also assisted with the planning and logistics of our mega site, which Herman put together last week at Wood Forest Stadium. That location alone did 7,500 vaccinations in 2 days of operation. As of right now, allocation has been dropped to zero for that facility, so it is sitting there waiting for second doses to come, but any first round doses, we have no plans there at this time with Herman not receiving any more allocation. We've established a call center. After last court, you guys brought up a lot of issues that were coming to you guys in your office about seniors trying to get on the wait list or get reservations. So we opened a call center to handle that. The center during the week will put seniors on the wait list. On Mondays, we open for a live call center for those seniors who do not have access to the internet. We will get them reservations to that week's allocation based on the number we get and the percentage we can hold back for the call center. Yesterday alone, the call volume took down the call center. But despite all that, we still managed to get 300 seniors registered for vaccine appointments this week. So
that's great.
We've managed to get that done.
Good.
Assisted our partners with two pop-up vaccine events. Both
yes,
were
just real quick for those seniors. Yes, that's age 75 and above, right?
65 and up is what we're counting as seniors.
For one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Our partners with Lone Star Family Health and Meals on Wheels wanted to put together a targeted program for seniors. Precinct 2 and Precinct 4 hosted that on their facilities last week. That program alone, we did 450 senior vaccinations on that Wednesday and Friday. All of this would not be possible without our collaboration and our efforts with the hospital district, Lone Star Family Health, St. Luke's Hospital, a number of fire departments, Woodlands, Conroe, North County, Porter, and law enforcement from every agency in the county, and then the city of Conroe and city of Shenandoah has helped with this. It's a huge logistical effort between multiple agencies and county agencies and outside county agencies to make this happen, and it's working smoothly right now. As we move forward, we'll begin second doses next week at our fairgrounds facility on top of any first doses that we get allocated. That will double our workload, and as increases in allocations come, it'll further increase the workload. We expect no issues at those sites as of right now with being able to handle both first and second doses as we move forward.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
When you opened up Wood Forest Stadium, right?
Yes, sir. We did not. Herman did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did y'all move St. Luke's over to
the No, sir. So Herman covered the expense of that entire facility along with Conroe Independent School District. They are very much interested in us taking over that facility moving forward. There's some issues with doing so. One, it's a little extravagant. It's a big facility for what we would need it. Herman would need that footprint if they were on site, but they won't be on site every single day. We can use our partners there every day where the facility is used almost every day of the week. It would need to be pared down a little bit to keep the expenses in check. And the other problem is Herman, as I understand it, is attempting to claim that FEMA claim as well for those expenses. And everything was rented on a monthly basis, so we'll have to wait till that expense is cleared out at the month, and we'd have to start it from scratch if the county was going to incur those expenses. We don't want to have duplicate FEMA claims.
I thought we were going to, when the stadium got ready to open, we were going to close down and move.
That is the plan.
That
was and is the plan. Herman got a one-time allocation of close to 8,000 doses that they were not expecting, and they moved very quickly to open up a site to accommodate those vaccines in 1 week. So they took precedent over us essentially on that facility. And so we're in the process now with Darren working with Herman and going through what we would need and what we could do to continue using that facility moving forward. I know Commissioner Noack's already expressed interest in us doing something there, keeping that. But again, we don't want to come to the court with a very expensive budget for that site since it is more than what we would need. So we're working with Herman to kind of pare that down and see what exactly the expenses are, what we would need to incur going forward.
But St. Luke's is planning to...
Currently, St. Luke's has got 2 more weeks on their site with all their equipment that they've rented, and then they'll either re-up that or we'll move them across to Wood Forest or to another site even if necessary. So
I would tell you, I talked to Jim Parisi last night at CEO of St. Luke, I don't know, 7 o'clock or so, and his opinion of what is going on is he is ecstatic in the organization of what you guys are doing. He is anxious to kind of push that over, and you guys have done a great job.
Yeah, we want to take that off of his campus footprint because of the traffic alone surrounding his campus and that intersection already being one of the highly trafficked intersections of the county. We'd like to move it away from
that. Messed up.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
If we can get it all to Wood Forest, that's where we need to be.
That's the plan, sir. Yeah. So we have beefed up officers on site, and with registration, there were some tweaks that Darren and I made with them last week with registration and check-in that tremendously improved the speed at which people got off the road and into their campus. It cleared traffic in less than an hour once we made some adjustments. And some of that has to do with who they're allowed to give inoculations to. The state's coming down a little harder and giving us some guidance on that, allowing us to turn folks away that otherwise don't qualify currently. But because they have a reservation, the hospital was allowing them in, but they don't qualify for reservations. So now we're screening them better and making sure they're a qualified reservation before they're inoculated as well.
I don't know why we don't make Wood Forest Stadium as big as we need to make it, and let's just we got a lot we need to be doing, and that's the place to do it.
As it stands now, that facility, we could take it over as soon as Herman allows us to, and it would be, It would be used 5 days a week at a smaller scale and 1 or 2 days a week with Herman using it at the large size that it is. If you haven't gone by there and seen it, it's surely amazing.
I haven't been by there.
I mean, they've got through 2 dozen tents, three construction trailers, and more barricades and barrels than probably the county has in all four precincts combined. It's a big operation. So
we need a big operation right now.
Yeah.
Boy, no joke.
Yeah. For the 2,000 allocations we get for Lone Star and Public Health this week and 2,000 at St. Luke's, we could do all 6,000 of them in one day at Herman or at that Wood Forest Stadium site. So it's just a matter of getting the partners together. They all use different registration programs, back-end channel, what they send to the state and the data. There's an item on the agenda to talk about that next. And so trying to put everybody on the same page as well has been a huge monumental task, and we've worked that out somewhat too as well, minus the hospitals. The hospitals still have to follow their procedures, but all the other providers will fall under the other guidance.
Well, Jason, it sounds like Memorial Hermann has done a Herculean job at getting these vaccines out, and they, from what I understand, have been very successful and got more out at any one location than we have. And so why would the state not continue to provide them with allocations?
Herman Hospital in Montgomery County is not designated a hub. So they did not want to be designated a hub. As the federal government shifted gears from its long-term care facilities of going out and inoculating residents in these facilities, they had doses left on the shelf. And so they pushed them down to the states. And Texas pushed that one-time allocation down to the large hospital systems in the metropolitan areas. So it was a one-time allocation to these big hospital systems. Methodist was also one of them that received a substantial allocation, one of their largest to date. And they pushed all of them out last week as well. But they did not repeat that allocation, and they knew that was going on. But Herman was willing to incur that expense because they needed to get them out fast. That's one of the requirements the state has, get them out quick. And two, they'll have to do double duty, and with Pfizer, it's 3 weeks. So they had 21 days from the first day of inoculation to do second rounds. And they've talked to us ahead of time about taking that site over. So that's something Montgomery County is very interested in doing. We just didn't want to present you with a $300,000 or $400,000 a month price tag for a facility that we're currently doing for not even a tenth of that price. So.
When is Johnson & Johnson going to come through for us with more
shots? So we had a conference call yesterday with the state. Johnson & Johnson they submitted their emergency authorization EAU request to the federal government last week. They anticipate meeting at the end of the month, and hopefully around the 1st of March they will have an EAU authorization. Johnson & Johnson already has stockpiles of supplies and vaccines on shelves in refrigeration units across the country ready to be shipped out as soon as they have the authorization. It would be a game changer in the sense of logistics because it's a one-shot vaccine. You don't have to come back for a second dose. I have not seen the stats on the effectiveness of it yet, but from my understanding, all the medical communities are very excited about it because it follows older shot technology, one, and two, it's from a trusted company, and three, it's one shot and done versus having to come back and do a double dose. And so we're ready. All of our partners, if they do start to receive Johnson & Johnson supplies, we're ready to incorporate that into our program.
All right.
So
any other comments about that, gentlemen?
I have nothing else on 12A, unless there's any other questions.
Move on to 12B.
So 12B is take appropriate action to grant an exemption to the formal competitive bid process as authorized by Section 262.024 of, I believe it's the Texas Government Code, for an item necessary to preserve or protect the public health and safety of residents of the county from Global Medical Response Incorporated and American Medical Response Incorporated for vaccination registration software, STAFE Restart is what it's called, and the implementation services in the amount not to exceed $285,000. Funding source to come from FEMA DR grant 4485 Cat B. Authorize the Director of Emergency Management to execute agreement on behalf of the county. This program is something the state's already using in some of our large hub counties. Denton County, for instance, is one of them. I believe Fort Bend County took this program up recently as well. It is a start-to-finish program where it verifies the eligibility of the patient. It allows the program gathers the patient's information, their medical information from them directly, gets them set on the wait list, confirms they're on the wait list, letting them know they're on the wait list, As soon as allotment comes down from the state, the program allocates appointments based on qualifications from their medical history and their age, submits the documentation to them electronically so they can do it online. It also allows us to do it on site for those who don't have access like that. And then at the end, which is very important, is sending batches of this data to the state, to the ImmuTrak system, multiple times a day. Right now, our partners are spending 3 or 4 days for every day our site is open. They spend 3 or 4 days after that documenting and going through the paperwork and submitting that to the state. It is slowing down operations. We're required to do it in 24 hours, and they are not hitting that mark just because it's a gargantuan task. And so they've asked OEM to come up with a solution for this from start to finish. I think it accomplishes what the court set for us last week, was coming up with a way to better handle registrations and confirmations that people are on wait list and getting them handled better. So it's a one-stop shop solution to the problem right now, and it's been effective in these other counties with mass vaccine hubs that are doing 10 and 12,000 a week out of them. The price tag at $285 was through the end of the fiscal year, based on us doing 21,500 vaccines a month. Right now, we're not at that number. We're about half that right now. But as allocations continue to increase and other doses come online, we expect to ramp up. So it's up front, we'll probably have lower dollar amounts for the first few months. But as we get more coming in, it is going to ramp up. We don't expect it to exceed $285.
Funding source is FEMA.
FEMA, yes, sir. It's 100% reimbursement.
More and more higher doses every week, or
right now our hubs have seen the same amount each week, 2,000 at each of them.
Okay.
And that's, we've been guaranteed that number, so we won't go less than that. But if they get more from the state, their goal is to increase those allocations. Right now supplies have been very limited. With the shift of the administration's changing in hands, focus has been given to other areas where doses at the federal level have been diverted to other programs that are just being launched. So as that all calms down and Pfizer and Moderna and soon to be Johnson & Johnson bring more online, then we expect higher allocations as we move forward.
Tell us about the pharmacies and what their new position they just told us about last night.
So yesterday on that conference call, yes, Judge, so we were told yesterday by the state that there's 81,000 doses coming to the pharmacies across the state of Texas. That's CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart that are under the federal program that the Biden administration's rolled out. There's 293 pharmacies identified so far in Texas to receive them. It's about 400 doses per pharmacy is what it added up to. That's this just in 1 week. They should have them by Friday and start rolling that out next week. Some of them may be in our community. We do not have that list yet of which ones across the state are on that list. We hope
to
have
some. Where the Magnolia Pharmacy made that.
Magnolia received 400 doses. Yeah, Magnolia Pharmacy received 400 doses due to State Rep Cecil Bell pulling some strings at the state and trying to get them some allocation. They were able to get 400 doses in the last few days. He went through and reserved those, and from my understanding, in a matter of minutes, and they are already gone. As of this morning, Magnolia Pharmacy had zero on hand, so they've already issued those 400 doses.
When are we supposed to get that list, Jason?
They told us by the end of the week, so yeah. So Magnolia Pharmacy, to clarify, Magnolia Pharmacy is not part of that program because it's geared towards the bigger partners. However, Magnolia Pharmacy is one of Montgomery County's hubs. We have designated that as a hub. I am baffled why the state has not issued allocation to that hub yet. We have tried time and time again to get it. It's the only answer I can give you is there's just not enough to go around just yet. Supplies are still very limited. And so
can they do more than 400?
I would hope they can. Yeah, oh yeah. He's told me he can do that. He can do that a day, not in a week. So he could easily get 2,000 to 2,500 a week in allocation and have no problem distributing that. From talking with State Rep Cecil Bell, the facility there, his building has given him more space and has given him a bigger footprint to operate a hub. So he has everything he needs, and he has the backing of OEM because we've already helped him with the logistics. We're ready to help him as soon as he gets those allocations. So
maybe we need to talk to Cecil Bell again.
Yeah.
I need to call NIM kid.
It would help. Anything at this point would help. They are a hub, and we definitely want them going because he had a large wait list. So if any bit he can get would start pushing through that wait list. One of the things we have found is our wait list at Montgomery County, we have over 50,000 people on it. just shy of half of those people are from outside of the county. So we are finding people from all over the area shopping and putting themselves on multiple lists. We don't know how many on our list are duplicates on Magnolia Pharmacy's list and on St. Luke's list. And we have found people where we send notification that they're up for an appointment and they respond back that they've already received a shot from someone else. We get that sometimes. We get no responses sometimes from people until after the appointments are already snagged up, and then, you know, they come out and go, I've got my appointment, what happened? Well, they didn't get it fast enough. The email didn't come to them fast enough. And that's what this program will fix, because the folks are getting, we're sending out thousands of emails a day. It's clogging up our server systems. Lone Star batched out 4,000 emails at one time. Their server couldn't handle that, so it sent them out in different times, and one of those came after the deadline to pick up reservations. So that entire group of people, when they got their email and got excited they were ready to go, the link no longer worked because it was after the deadline. It was no fault of Lone Star. It's just a computer server problem. So having an outside vendor on this will solve some of these technical glitches we're having from the registration and appointment side.
So if we don't, and there's no way to identify that by residency, like if you're Montgomery County or Harris County, so we're not paying for...
Correct. So the conference call we had yesterday with the Department of State Health Services, they mentioned that they are working right now on some language that they hope to present to the vaccine expert panel on Monday next week that will give us the ability to target our population, our residents across the state instead of other counties. Because those allocations are coming to us based on our county's population size, they're wanting us to make sure they're going in the arms of folks that live here versus us helping folks from out of the county and vice versa. Harris County does it too. All the counties are having this issue. I've personally seen at Herman's site, when I walked through the lanes, you know, you can look at their registration tag on their windshield and see the county name. 70% of the cars were Harris County tags. So, I mean, it was great. The operation was successful, but it was helping the community as a whole and not necessarily targeting just Montgomery County residents. Right. So as soon as the state tells us we can do that, then these providers are allowed to do that. Right now, they can't. If you are a Texas resident and qualified to receive a shot, we have to give you a shot no matter where you live. That's one thing, the key point there, Texas resident. We've been seeing a lot of vaccine tourism. Being close to Bush, we see a lot of foreigners flying in with reservations. We are turning them away because they are not Texas residents. So,
okay.
Jason, I have a question specifically regarding the FEMA DR 4485 Category B issue. It seems to me that, first of all, when we say this is the funding source, there's no funding from FEMA. We're going to spend
money up
county
front.
Funds
correct.
And reimburse, try to
that is correct.
Petition for reimbursement. Secondly, this court has reclassified over $50 million of federal funds already, converted that to county funds. To me, it feels dirty to go back and say, now we're going to send this same money you sent us back, and we want you to reimburse us again. So I don't think that smells good. I don't think it looks good. It makes it look like we're trying to double dip from the feds. So I'm absolutely opposed to that, and I don't think the court should practice that method.
They will send it to us, though, either way, won't they? So that we could take it from
these. This won't be a grant. This will be an audited program where we will submit a worksheet showing what we've expended on this program, and they will audit those expenses, and they will reimburse us. It could be tomorrow. It could be 9 years from now for these expenses, just like with Hurricane Ike or various hurricanes. For those that have been here a long time, Commissioner, two commissioners, I mean, Hurricane Ike, we just closed the books last year or the year before, so it does take a long time to get covered back from FEMA after we've passed their audits.
Yeah, but we didn't reclassify a bunch of money after Ike and then go out and spend money
Correct.
And ask to be reimbursed again. We
Correct.
Didn't do that.
According to the federal government, according to Montgomery County to the U.S. Treasury, we have $0 in CARES funds left. We zeroed that fund out with all the classifications and expenditures thus far. So in order to do what the commissioner is suggesting, you would have to deobligate some funds within county budget and
no,
reobligate.
No, that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm saying we took $50 million in federal funds, converted it to county funds. We've already received money. There are counties out there and entities that have received $0 from the feds. we look greedy. It's wrong to say we've already taken $50 million. Now we're going to spend that money again and try to get reimbursed from the federal government twice for the same thing. That's wrong. It shouldn't happen.
So, Commissioner, what you could do, if you're interested in Commissioner Nowak's idea, is you could pull the money either from contingency or fund balance, because that's where the original piece of, you know, that went. It was CARES Act, was fund balance. So you could pull it from fund balance, or you could pull it from contingency if you were interested in that. If you're interested in what Jason's saying, that money is the county upfronting the money and then possibly getting that money back for reimbursement. It's not a guarantee, right? It's, and so it does require some auditing from the feds. It opens their, our books up to them, you know, which we do anyways. But I mean, that's, it's kind of that kind of process. It's not just a, okay, here's your money. It's definitely different than the CARES Act. Okay, I just want to make sure everybody's kind of aware of that, that piece.
But I
what do you think about
CARES? I agree with Commissioner Nowak. We've got the money from CARES, from the feds. Correct. Already.
Correct. We and re-
now
reimbursed ourselves
it,
public
and
safety.
And then asking for that money back again. That doesn't sound good to me. Doesn't sound right.
Commissioner?
So the motion would change from funding source.
Yeah, the motion would change funding source.
Funding source, and it would
the county
need
funds.
To, we need to either use county funds contingency or deobligate CARES funds and reobligate them to this program.
Or no, it would be taking it from the public safety dollars we reclassified.
Right.
If that's the approach, then I think it's cleaner to deobligate the CARES Act to the extent that he's going to spend his money on and just reobligate to these projects.
I don't know that we can deobligate CARES Act funding, can we, Amy? Or is it a good? Doesn't seem to be as good a practice.
You can. It would probably be cleaner if we've already turned in reporting saying that we have utilized those funds to go ahead and spend our funds on additional tasks related to vaccine immunization.
That's what I've...
So just be fund balance.
Okay. Commissioner, so you know, there's no... We only spend the CARES Act funds. In fact, I think the CARES Act anticipates that the counties are spending more than the allocation that we receive.
All right.
Having classified both times, I don't think that's a real issue. As we had discussed with the Treasury Department one time in that conference call.
Right.
In case there is a, on the audit, that something doesn't qualify for CARES funds, if you've expended more, then you're still okay. We're not sending money back. Based upon improper, ineligible
use of CARES funds. We haven't come close to expending all of the dollars that we've taken for.
Well, and used, I think better than taken would be utilized for law enforcement and things that the federal government has authorized and the a lot of law enforcement and things that came up during the pandemic.
Okay, so for the benefit of this motion, then we would change the funding source, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Correct.
County funds from wherever
Unbalanced.
Rakesh thinks they need to come.
Fund balance is what I think.
How would you phrase that?
It would come from fund balance.
Okay. So Commissioner Nowak,
so I'll just move. I move that we take the $285,000 or up to that from fund balance.
Okay.
And I will follow up. That will require a budget amendment, so I will file the budget amendment at the next commissioner's court in the consent agenda.
Okay. Good. Commissioner, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Good job. Thank you.
I believe based on that conversation, item C is no longer needed at this point. That was reclassifying from the CARES funds from previous authorizations back to the FEMA PW claim number. So if the court does not want to do a FEMA PW claim for vaccine distribution, we'll just continue to use fund balance for projects related to this going forward.
Just make sure that the payment is directed. The payment is directed to the Woodlands Fire Department.
It is. The contract was rewritten.
The language says township still.
I apologize. Yeah, well, it is going to the township, but it'll be fire department personnel only that'll be eligible for the reimbursement.
And the contract was modified as such.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So we will defer.
We'll defer C. Yeah. Right. Item D is we are providing meals to our staff and first responders who are working those facilities each day. It's not breakfast and lunch. It's lunch and or breakfast, depending on the times that we start. Just need authorization for us to purchase meals and any necessary sales tax and associated fees not to exceed $15,000, changing the funding source as listed back to fund balance.
And Jason, I have a question or a comment on
here.
Yes, sir. So all of the four commissioners, our crews have to work all the time, and there's never any money for food for them. They have to bring their own, or I have to buy it with my funds. Same thing with so many other departments. I'm sorry, I think they need to buy their own lunch. I don't know. It's just not fair to say we're going to feed these folks when the county clerk's office has to work overtime for issues, or district clerk, or, you know, HR.
I don't disagree with you on certain aspect of that, Commissioner. However, for the logistics of these facilities, these firemen, paramedics that are vaccinating are taking a 5-minute break, snack, eating
we're
a sandwich,
doing a road project
and coming
the road.
Right
we
back.
Can't stop yeah. and we can't stop and go eat lunch. I don't get to bring anything out to them. I don't think that's.
The difference is we have 2,000 people sitting in line in their cars, idling, waiting for a shot that we have to close lanes down.
When we're on I-45, we have 100,000 cars backed up.
So
I mean, I think this looks like we're having preferential treatment for some and not all. If the county wants to amend their policy to where commissioners and everybody can...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we do... I may be wrong, but I believe we already have an item that allows you guys to purchase meals during a disaster and stuff. It's an extending order of the court that was done
like
2 years ago and back in 19.
I've been out there numerous times. I come out there and different people have bought breakfast for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have gotten various groups to cooperate whenever we can.
Yeah.
But you've got how many cars potentially? I've been there since they were all the way down the airport road down to the
end. Yeah, we had a mile long traffic.
Lines.
Yeah.
And people just giving shots nonstop for hours, and truly not being able to get away to go help. And, and it's an unusual situation. It's not common that we'll be giving out vaccines. It's up to the will of the court here. In my judgment, I think that in moving forward and giving the lunches to these guys, sure, we understand. Sometimes they do. We don't do it every day and haven't done breakfast every day, that's for sure. It's generally been one or another, and it generally has to do with the kind of volume that we're going to be doing.
Correct.
So, maybe the dollar amount's too high, or maybe we need to make an adjustment.
The dollar amount's not to be spent in a month. That was at $400 a day, 3 days a week.
But I don't see
out for several months
groups of other people complaining that it's not fair that they're out there doing that. These guys are out there. I mean, I've been there nonstop. You don't stop the entire time,
right?
And you can just get over to get it and eat it, kind of on the run, is what they're doing. And to be able to get,
I ate a sandwich while directing traffic. No time to sit down.
I would ask that you kind of readjust on that and go with us on this. And if it doesn't work out, then we stop doing it. But
The $15,000 is for what time period?
So I don't remember my exact calculation, but it was based on about $400 a day average, 3 days a week operation, and calculating that multiple weeks. I think it was 12 weeks is what I pushed it out to. So that's three months worth of authorization there at 3 days a week. Right now we're operating 2 days this week, so it would save some money this week.
Well, I understand what Commissioner Nowak's saying, but this time is different than what normal conditions are, I eat on the run all the time. We all do if you're working.
Yeah.
So I do understand his concern, but I do think they don't have time to go get. They can't say I'll be back, and they may take an hour to get back. So then you kind of get lagged behind. And if everybody starts breaking, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that's the answer, but
I think it is a different situation. I think it's a unique situation that I hope we never get back into. But I think we got to do something now. So I'm going to move on D.
For the funding source being
I would like to use if
funding
you,
source being
can we do contingency on that? Contingency can cover that. I mean, it's a small amount of number.
All right, we have a second.
I'll second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Both.
Thank you. Let's move on.
Gentlemen, we have the sites opening tomorrow at the fairgrounds. If you have not been to see it, I encourage you to come out and take a look. We'll be there from about 8 to 6:37 tomorrow night. So,
it's pretty amazing, y'all, to see what they're doing, the precision. And as I have stood in the lines and talked to people, hundreds of people that have come through, and even though they're waiting, they are so ecstatic and so happy with how quickly and organized it has been. As they have tried to go to other sites and they don't have anywhere near that take place the way it is. So great job, Jason, and Chris and Darren and the rest
of your team. Big team effort, yeah.
Well done.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Precinct 2, Commissioner.
Consider and appoint directors to the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. I didn't realize that we had to...
Is how we did it last
reappoint Commissioner Nowak after he got elected again. So we need to appoint Commissioner Nowak, and we need to appoint Commissioner Walker to the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority.
Okay.
How do we do that?
Did I just make a motion?
Did I just appoint him?
You made a nomination.
Thank you.
And remove Commissioner Metter. His term is up with his retirement.
Okay.
You move, Judge?
I moved.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And then to...
Anything else for the resume?
Yeah, the chairperson.
Consider and appoint the chairperson and vice chairperson of the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority.
Move that Charlie Riley is the chairman and that our vice chairman is the judge.
No, I would move that, and I can appreciate that.
I moved already.
You can stay the secretary.
Who is the vice chairman? Here's what I was going to recommend.
All right.
I keep the chairman. We appoint the new guy, Mr. Robert Walker, as the vice chair, and everybody stays like they are from there down.
It doesn't matter to me, whoever wants it. I'm good with it.
I move that. Chair, a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Walker. Thank you very much. All right.
I was going to give it to you.
Precinct 4.
Judge, I'd like to move this to executive session.
Yes, I have questions. I'd like to present to BD as well.
Okay.
I need BD to answer, if you don't mind.
BD, do I need to read the executive session statement?
Right, yes.
Could you give me just a moment here? Executive session, if we will. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. And we shall return. Thank you all. As we move forward onto this item, what we'd like to do is we have entertained the citizen comments that have to do with the towing, rotation, and storage service issue. Is there anybody who would like to speak before we talk about it? Yes, Amy, come on up. And if you would identify yourself.
Well, it's almost afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen, commissioners, yep. Judge. My name is Amy Milstead, and I am with Milstead Automotive. I represent the largest towing company here in Montgomery County. I would like to address the non-consent towing topic today. You're going to hear some discussion today about the new ordinance that's been put in place, effective January 1st. This ordinance can and it will be a benefit to the county, but it still needs a little work. The purpose of this ordinance is for public safety in Montgomery County. This ordinance, when enforced properly, protects the law enforcement officers and the citizens that are on our roadways. It also protects our tow truck drivers, which we are very passionate about. There are some proposed changes in this ordinance, such as implementing 4 districts in the county, requiring a storage lot and tow trucks in that said district, and making sure the non-consent vehicle that is towed stays in the district it is towed from. The rotation dispatch put in place January 1st is not working. There are many flaws with this software, the rules, and the enforcement of this program. One example is common ownership. I will tell you, our company has seen a 60% decline in law enforcement tows since this program went into effect. Many, many more are suffering even worse than we are. The changes being discussed today will not make this program perfect, but it is a start to improve this process. I'm here today to let you know we support these changes that are going to be presented. If you vote in favor of these changes, you're protecting the citizens and the law enforcement here in our county. And you're also going to save and protect a few businesses out there in the towing industry that have been here for a very, very long time. At this time, I'd like to ask for the audience to stand if they're a towing company and they support what I'm saying today. I think that tells you have a strong opinion here about what is being said. I can entertain any questions if anyone has any.
how many tow truck companies are represented here in the big picture? How many are there in the county, and how many are represented here?
Last count, I know there were 250 tow trucks in the county. Does anybody know how many total companies? 60-ish? 75, okay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Is there, yes, if you state your name for the record.
I just got off the phone with GovTow Support while we're talking about the system that we're using, where I was just informed by GovTow Support on a recorded conversation with GovTow Support to lie to the Sheriff's Department about the reason that I missed a call a minute ago. I declined a call sitting right here in the room because I could not make it to that call. Couldn't. I'm sitting here. So I disregarded the call. The car didn't load. So it made me angry that I got moved on the list. So I called GovTow Support. What I was told was to call county and send emails. It's on recording. Scott Engel heard it. I was told to lie to y'all to get put back on rotation in my spot that I missed because I denied a call. Do you realize how many people on the list, if you can watch it, are put back in their spot due to a previous rotation call? Has anybody seen that in parentheses off to the side? Anybody? They just told me to lie to y'all. GovTow Support.
And I can send the recording to whoever would like it.
Captain Dunlap? Yes, sir.
Thank you for not lying. Proceed. And if you'd give us your name for the record, please.
How you doing? My name's T.J. Knox. I've lived in Montgomery County my whole life. First of all, I'd like to thank God for allowing us to live in a country that we are allowed to speak in. I've been in the towing business since I was 17 years old. I'm very blessed to own several businesses in Montgomery County. 2020 was a hard year on everybody, including the towing business. With that said, in December of 2020, my company has loaded 62 cars to the impound lot in December before this started. That's about two cars a day. From January 1st to January 31st, we've loaded 17 cars off the rotation. That's about one car every 2 days, and there's a lot of companies here that's loaded less than that. We lost about three quarters of our business overnight. That's a big difference. We used to compete with 10 to 12 companies in East County. Now we're competing against 31 companies in East County. The towing policy has got the county divided up in 24 zones. It's kind of confusing. Some of these zone rotation takes several weeks for you to get one tow out of. There are many times that you're having to wait even longer than that. Crazy response times for law enforcement to have to wait on the side of the road waiting on a wrecker. It puts them more at risk. Not to mention someone's car gets towed because they ran out of gas or had an accident in New Caney, and a good chance are there's a company in Magnolia that's picking up their car. So the citizen would have to drive approximately 60 miles to either clean out their car because they had an accident or to pick up their car because maybe as little as they run out of gas. This is crazy. It makes no sense. We passed a deal because we had Harris County tow trucks coming in Montgomery County, picking up cars and taking them back to downtown Houston. That's only about downtown Houston's only about 25 miles, but we created a mess that wreckers from Magnolia can come to New Caney and take them back to Magnolia. Now the citizen has to drive 60 miles. I'm just asking to consider the going to these changes because it'll help everybody. Not only law enforcement, not only citizens, but it'll help the towing industry. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments? And if you would hold your applause, please. Thank you. But we do appreciate your enthusiasm. Thank you. Yes. State your name for the record, please.
Charlie Miller with Miller Towing and Recovery. Thank you guys for talking about this today. Really, really do appreciate everything that's going on to help the situation. You know, for myself, we didn't really want the rotation, but if we have it, our desire is to see it work properly, to see it be a well-oiled machine that works well for the tow companies and for the county, because it has to go both ways. It has to work for everybody to be efficient. One of the big things whenever it was passed that you guys talked about a lot was fair and equitable for everybody. The things that we have going on now are not fair and equitable. We need to see a change that's being presented today to be passed. Our company is a small company. We lost 75% of non-consent tows from December to January, a 75% decrease. That's a lot. We don't just live off of the streets, thank goodness, but that's a huge drop in 1 month to the next. We really appreciate when we had the opportunity to speak with the Sheriff's Department and to work with you guys. Some of us out here are really trying to work together with the Sheriff's Department to try to see changes put in place that will make this thing work. I just pray that you would see that these changes would be beneficial to us as an industry and to the county and to the officers that are out there. And the only other thing I would ask is that we need to be more strict with the rules that are in place, be it common ownership or whatever the rules are. The rules need to be really enforced to make the system work. Because if the rules aren't enforced, then the rotation, we've had it different ways for so long, everybody wants to cling to the old way. If the rules aren't enforced and followed, then the rotation will not work. Thank you.
What rules are not being enforced now?
We have a huge issue with common ownership that's not being enforced. We see a lot of first records being used, and I understand there's been problems with the dispatch software and getting records on scene, and hopefully the change in the zones would shorten that ETA time and try to help with that. But we've seen trucks that were a company that their TDLR was expired for the first 2 weeks of January. That was one of the companies that loaded more than anybody else did in January. And they were expired for the first 2 months or first 2 weeks of the month. Nobody questioned it. Nobody called them out. Nobody said, hey, you can't come out here and load. Your stuff is expired. You're not allowed to drive that truck down the road and do anything with it as a tow truck, much less come out on the county and load a non-consent tow. And these things have not been pursued. They have not been pushed forward. And they really should be.
Thank you.
Yes. If you state your name for the record, please.
Hi, I'm Shay Adamick on behalf of Johnny Adamick's Record Service. So we've started the rotation, and since January 1, we are a good example of your company that just signed up for your primary area. We have loaded 4 cars, and we are used to loading that per day. So, yes, I'm in support of what's about to be presented with the 4-zone map. However, I want to cover our bases in case it doesn't get approved. If it doesn't get approved, I beg you to please let us change our equipment, add equipment if necessary throughout the year, and add zones or remove zones if we need to, so we can adjust according to whatever y'all do agree on. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that has a different opinion? I mean, we're hearing, I get it, everybody's in favor. Does anybody have anything different to say about this program?
I stood here before y'all last year and thought to myself, hey, this rotation process is a great idea. Versus me listening to a scanner and figuring out where I need to go, it'd be nice for the county to actually kind of maybe depend on us a little bit and give us a call and tell us where to go, where they need us, and what they want us to perform. In the last 30 days, I have found that maybe that ain't the answer. Because as long as there's a room for a chip system and every municipality in this county is not on the same page, I don't see how this system's going to work. Just last week, we were up in a zone, and so my driver sat there. He chipped 6 times before he ever got his rotation. 14 hours, he chipped 6 times. And that's why you see on this rotation list that it says back up due to previous call. Because if I accept the call and I just don't go, in 20 minutes the officer gets upset because his record's not there, and he goes, have those records behind me just match. Well, so I just got excluded, so that's why they put you back up. I never left my couch, you understand? I'm not saying I personally have done that, but there's companies out there are doing it. They accept the call and they don't move. They're going to get put right back up in 20 minutes. Because why? Because the officers on scene are not going to go, hey, give me the next rotation record. He didn't show up. They go, have records on scene, chip. Which in the system makes it look like the record that did accept the call just got skipped. So they put him right back up and he's never left his couch. But he left the officer sitting on the side of the road for 30 minutes. And now the officer's mad. And who's he mad at? He's mad at us as a whole, not as one individual person or one individual company. They get mad at. So if, as long as these other municipalities with DPS and constables and city municipalities are going, I'm not waiting 20 minutes, have these records on behind me, chip. We're not, the system's not going to work. It's just not. It can't. I was on another scene the other day with a DPS officer, and I schooled him. Let me show you how this system will work if you will utilize it. We're here. There were 7 wreckers there. I said, sir, I am your next wrecker up for rotation. This truck was in the middle of the road. Versus you going, hey, y'all just chip, call for your next wrecker. 9 out of 10 times they're sitting there anyways waiting on you to call. And so I accepted the call and then showed him the text where it gave the address right where I needed to be. And he goes, then what's the problem? Y'all are not utilizing the system. You're not calling for first record. You're just having these records chipped. But the ordinance says I can't be on scene. But if I'm not on scene, I get skipped. So we're in a crossroad. Do we go or do we not? Because if we're not there, then we don't make no money. If we are there, then we take a chance of getting penalized by the sheriff's department because we're not supposed to be there. I do believe that these four districts that we've had for years that have worked, that these storage facilities in that district tow in that district. It worked. We had 10 or 15 companies to where now we got 30.
If I may, though, and I have a question, because as you were just saying, that they did not call, they are not calling according to the rotation.
Absolutely not.
So whether or not you have 74 or 24, what difference does it make if the process back at dispatch has not taken place?
The dispatching is not the problem. If the officers don't ask for it, then it don't get dispatched. If the officer goes, hey, give me, there's 7 wreckers behind me, just y'all match, figure it out who's towing this car, get it out of the middle of the roadway, because it's a traffic hazard.
Okay.
What determines a traffic hazard?
Yeah.
Just because a car's in a moving lane of traffic, it doesn't make it a traffic hazard and an officer safety issue. I mean, we have officers in everywhere around the country that will get out and direct that traffic around until their record gets there, whether it's 20 minutes or 45 minutes in some counties. They get out and they direct that traffic. It's not a life-threatening ordeal. Even on the freeway, you're on a 4-lane highway. You got one lane blocked. It's going to be all right. There's 3 more lanes. That's what the red and blue lights are for, and the cones and all the safety vests and everything that we do have to have on these jobs, and the officers too. We're the ones up here griping about it and going, hey, we would like a change and meeting with you guys and trying to get something done.
Okay, good. Thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. Appreciate your comments. Is there anybody else who would like to make a comment here? Keep in mind we've got 3 minutes per comment.
Yeah. Real quick. I'm with A++ Dale. Bale. This software system caught us all off guard. We didn't know nothing about it till the very end. It doesn't work. I think they'll agree. We get called up. We get put back up. You don't get penalized. Hell, we already figured out tricks how to get put back up. All you got to do is just say, I got a 35, 40-minute ETA, and they put you back up. The system don't work. Besides that, Monday through Friday, they're off. My company suffers during the weekend because nobody's there. we asked, and I agree with Amy, everything that they've asked, and it was great, okay? But they're not, there's nobody for us to say, hey, I got skipped. South County ain't supposed to be up. They already loaded. I'm up next. On Saturday and Sunday, nobody around. The software is not working. It caught us off guard. I've done rotation with Tomball, and they have a live dispatcher. Why are we not just having a live dispatcher? That's what I signed up for, and they did too. You hand us this, and they ain't even been proven who they are, what they're doing, and we're paying $25 every time they call us. Not only that, my wife and me run the company. She's got to spend all this time saying, hey, that was a cancel. Cancel, you accept it, but we didn't load it. We got to figure out how much money is ours that ain't theirs. And it's almost like, why are we having to do that? We're working for them now. It's terrible.
The $25 fee, though, if you'll be intellectually honest, hasn't taken place yet, correct, according to the sheriff's office. It may, but right this second it hasn't.
You know, a lot of stuff ain't taking place.
Well, all I'm saying is just wondered to throw that in, because we had that discussion. So, but we do appreciate your comments very much.
Why can't we just have a dispatcher, a live dispatcher? We don't know if we're sending a flatbed out or a wheel lift out for a motorcycle crash or if it needs a flatbed because all four tires are knocked off. We don't know anything from the app. Nothing. I mean, there's not enough detail. They tell us 59, 2090. That's it. They don't tell if it's southbound or northbound. We don't know. We get there, and we're on the minutes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this live dispatch, if you're not going to do that, I mean, do something. We need some help. Sheriff, this has been a disaster.
Good to see you. Thank
you. More comments. All right. If there are none, then if we can, thank you for the citizen comments. Go to Precinct 4, Commissioner Metz, consider, discuss, take action to amend, modify, or update the Montgomery County Texas Ordinance regulating incident management, towing, rotation, and storage services.
After having many discussions with different people, everybody's probably, you record drivers and the sheriff and myself and the court are a little bit weary of dealing with this. But I believe, and from talking to many of you, DPS and others, that this will help a lot, these four districts here. And I don't, that's the way I feel. One of my main concerns early on was having your vehicle towed across town. And I voted for, but I was told that we were going to have individual lots in different areas, or I wouldn't have voted for that at the time. I didn't go back and read it. Maybe I should have, but I trusted who told me that that's the way it was going to be. but I believe that these four districts will improve this considerably, address common ownership problem, all those things, make it more secure for law enforcement. I think you'll be able to get to your accident scenes in less than 20 minutes in most cases. There's going to be an exception to the rule, but in most cases, I think that you'll be able to get there in a shorter time frame. I think it's better for public safety. That's what this was about to start with. We're not in the business of regulating commerce in this body. That's not our job. It's about public safety and then fairness. So my motion is today is the part that you've read. Move to direct the county's office to prepare a revision to the Montgomery County Ordinance regulating incident management, towing, rotation, and storage services. And revision should include, this is a motion, consolidating tow zones into four basic districts, requiring that in order to tow in these districts, a tow company must have a licensed storage facility in that particular tow district. Have at least one wrecker assigned to that district. Vehicles that are towed without owner's consent must be stored in the same district, and allow companies 30 days to secure a storage lot in the district if they had one in the previous 12 months. And it's my understanding it's already in the policy as far as there'll be no new companies or storage lots added until at least till January 22. So disregard five. That's my motion. I move.
All right. Do we have a second?
I second.
Okay, we have a second. Discussion.
Sheriff, would you like to address any of the comments that have been made, including claims of common ownership?
I'd like to hear about software
expand
issues.
Expired TDLR issues and why we don't have a live dispatcher.
I'm glad you were writing those down. Dale Bell was the last one to speak, and so he makes a lot of good points, but that one's fresh on my mind. And the reason we're not using a live dispatcher is because we're moving to encryption, radio encryption. So they're not going to be able to hear the radio frequencies, which was part of the motivation for going to towing anyway. It's been a step-by-step process. That was a process that was begun with a regional radio system, and it was always intended when we got on that system that we would move to encryption eventually. So that's my answer to that. What's the next one?
Common ownership.
We've reviewed common ownership, specific complaints received from tow companies with our legal counsel, and we have been unable to identify a specific instance of a violation of TDLR rules or the county ordinance that violates. We have the documentation. It's been presented to council, and by the letter of the law inside the ordinance, it does not appear that there has been identified common ownership.
Right, and while we understand that the ordinance is drafted to model TDLR, so in their registration, that's where they're looking. However, we are working with the sheriff's office to have different rules and processes in place to fully evaluate if they are registered in other locations, and we come to find out that they have multiple services and companies, we will be addressing those in the future.
But currently,
the way it's drafted, they are in compliance.
But if we find out that they are purposely trying to circumvent this law by lying, we can hold them accountable for that, and we will do everything we can if we find out that
it is happening. It is definitely a problem that we are aware of and working on a solution for.
Amy, did you say you were currently working on that? That we are now?
We are working on a solution for it. It was brought, the sheriff's office actually brought it to our attention, and so we are looking into that issue.
We're responding to all complaints. We're not taking any enforcement action. Schoonover spoke to that quite a bit. His frustration with us not, Charles Miller did as well, frustration with not enforcing. Well, there's a reason for that. It's the flip side of the same coin where the complaints about how there's problems. There's problems with the software. There's problems with dispatch. There's been a huge problem with addresses gridding. And that is not the fault of the record services. So, yes, we're asking for a lot of voluntary compliance, that this is what the ordinance says, and we ask that you follow the rules. We're a law enforcement agency. We're used to following the rules as well. And so we have not punished anyone. We have not taken anyone out of rotation. And we have not even charged fees. The ordinance, because of requests that were made during the summer, is why the tow dispatching company was even brought into this. Because if you recall, one of the things that most of you wanted in order to pass this ordinance was that they be able to check out to watch a baseball game, to go on vacation, et cetera. Well, we can't do that internally with the sheriff's office. We added a layer of regulation, but not a layer of any new employees. My budget did not increase. I have no new employees. I am using existing clerks, an alarm permitting guy. One of my captains is pulled off and spending an inordinate amount of time on this. So we recognize that there's problems, and we're trying to get it solidified. And we've made great leaps and bounds from week one. I mean, there's no doubt about that things have gotten better. But we're not, we haven't sent out billing, was my point. The $7 would be collected for the vendor for the tows. That is something we're going to have to collect. The $25 that goes on top of that into the general fund, that was included in the ordinance. I will leave it up to you gentlemen at this point or some other point whether
you
want us to
charge
that.
Not charged that, though, correct?
We have not charged it. We're still reconciling the first bill because the problem that the record companies have seen in, accepted tows, refused tows, we're seeing on our dispatch side as well, and we've got the vendor, URI, so we're trying to reconcile the two, and we have not completed that task yet. I've got quite a few people pulled off of their normal jobs trying to make sure that that's right before any bills go out. And that's something we absolutely want to try to get right, which, we'll do our best when it comes to that.
Sheriff, you mentioned there were some issues that came up, software issues that
you're working on. Can you share with us about that?
Yeah, well, whenever this was passed in the summer, we were hoping that we would have our P1 CAD stood up, which CAD is our computer-aided dispatch. We use Spillman Flex right now. Typical for a software implementation project, it's been pushed back. So it will probably take place well on later in this year. So we were wanting to have an interface between the URI vendor and CAD. So when dispatch did something, it spoke directly with the vendor. Makes sense? There was an interface, the information's flowing back and forth. Well, we chose not to spend the money to do an interface with a CAD that we're ending production with. We're moving to a new CAD. We will do the interface with Motorola P1 whenever that is stood up. But that hasn't been done, and we didn't forecast that back during the summer. So in reality, you remember, there's boots on the ground. There's people that are doing work every time that there's a tow, and that includes our dispatchers. So they're in the CAD system, and they put an address in one way there, and that's the way they're used to doing it. And then they turn to another software, which is URI. Turns out that the addressing that they use here doesn't work over here. They had to completely reformat it in a different way, and it took us probably a couple of weeks to realize that was what the problem was. And so you might have been dispatched to somewhere on 105 and sent east when you were actually supposed to be west because of the block range problems. So that is one of many problems that we didn't anticipate. You can't. We've corrected a lot of them, and we have many more. We have complaints that have come from the record companies, and we're taking every one of those seriously and investigating those all the way through, as we always have. And I understand some of the straight-up guys that want enforcement. I get that. I want enforcement, too. But you've got to have a good, solid set of well-known, well-published, well-understood rules before you can do that.
And, Sheriff, we tasked your office, your agency, with taking on this issue. And it was,
yes, sir.
It was done a long ago. And since I've been on this court, we've been talking about towing issues for 8 years. And I believe when we started this program, you said yourself that your goal was to get in here, let's implement what we have, and that you were going to be willing to make changes when appropriate.
Sure.
Can you just expand a little bit on where we are now, and I don't want you to say in 2 weeks or 6 weeks, 6 months, but I want you to just kind of explain your philosophy on where we are and why maybe today may not be the best time to take action.
Well, we're still getting our house in order, and I hate that the record companies are suffering for it. I really do. I have a lot of friends or former friends, whatever, in the room here. And we certainly don't want to see their businesses suffer. That's never the intent of this. This is always directed for public safety. You all understand that. But some of the changes that they're bringing in are still cutting edge. We've just launched the Android app. I mean, that is available. The record companies who had Android phones are able to use those. We just began testing the Apple app, the iOS app, yesterday. So there are a handful of record companies that agreed to do the demo. And so they're seeing how this works before it becomes available in the Play Store so they can download it. I mean, having those two up and operational, functional, is huge strides forward. I've already mentioned we're moving to Motorola at some point in time. We've added some map layers from what the deputies see that were different from what they could see before. We're doing the billing reconciliation, addressing common ownership. Once we start enforcing the rules, I believe that organically those record services that can't respond to the zones that they signed up for, they're going to get pulled out. They're going to get suspended out of those zones. For example, if you're a small record company that has 3 records and you've signed up for 15 zones, responding to that with 3 trucks, saying you have all 3 trucks working at the same time, is pretty unlikely you're going to be able to hit to get there within 20 minutes. So everyone suffers from that. So I think organically that some of the multiple, somebody said 30-something in a zone. Yeah, that's true. We've got 30-something in some of the zones. We've got 15 in others. So I believe that in the course of this first year, we're 40 days in, and once we start enforcing that penalty, you took out most of the penalties. There's very few enforcement tools left because the record companies wanted those removed, and y'all conceded that point before you passed the ordinance this summer. So one of the penalties that remains is if you no-show one, two, three times, it's progressive discipline. You're going to get notice. You're going to get warned. You're going to get removed from rotation for a period of time. So I would suggest that you give us a little bit of time so we can get our house in order before we start enforcing the rules. And it comes back to the record companies. If they're in zones that they can't respond to, I would suggest that they self-correct and just service the zones that they can.
And so if you were to load the current map that is being presented by METS, you and I had a conversation, and there are some issues with addresses, with it loading into CAD properly.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more than just taking a map and scanning it into the system. There's address points and center lines and locations and a lot of GIS ArcView information that I wouldn't begin to try to explain to you.
But it's not as simple as just
loading. It's not a simple change. This is a huge change to the ordinance that would take us back to ground zero with this map. Because once we get the map in, traditionally whenever we've loaded maps in for different reasons, it's broken other maps. So right now, trying to upload this map broke our law zones. So we lost a lot of addresses that's data we're not going to be able to get back. So we're still recovering from that. And, okay. Thank goodness we've got a really competent GIS person in IT that has dropped everything that she's doing. And I appreciate Bobby and his crew for letting us have her.
To get this fixed.
Just dropped everything to try to get this fixed.
Sheriff, as the chief law enforcement officer in Montgomery County, are we performing this duty more safely under this ordinance starting January 1st than we were in December?
Oh, absolutely. Not racing to the scene. The 15-minute record calls are inherently dangerous. I've been a street cop. This is my 27th year with the sheriff's office. And I've also been a citizen just innocently driving down the road, and I see, some hazardous driving, and I know exactly where that record driver's going, and I know why they're doing what they're doing. That was the framework that we set up for them. And so correcting that to where they know that they have 20 minutes or not to respond to a location, which we've screwed up. They don't always know where that location is. It's valid points. It's northbound, southbound on 59. That makes a difference. So when we're still training our people. So that, yes, it is definitely safer. We have accomplished the public safety part, but we have a lot of internal failures that we're still trying to correct. A lot of these were anticipated. You're dealing with software. You're going to have problems. Another point I'd like to make is Schoonover also spoke to cities not using the tow. If I'm right here, why aren't you using the tow rotation? The cities aren't bound to the tow rotation. DPS is not bound to the tow rotation. We have asked for them to join because that would be more rotations that would happen. But we've also said we're not going to do 15-minute record calls. In the interest of public safety, if the sheriff's office dispatches for you, we won't do those. And so we've begun to, by sending out notice to the police chiefs across the county, that they're going to either figure out a rotation of their own, figure out a dispatch channel of their own, or come on to the county tow ordinance, because that is no longer going to be an option. So there are entities that are still chipping, but that should not be any county law enforcement, which are sheriffs and constables. Very valid points about first record on the scene. So my 20-minute guy didn't show up. So there's some records that are sitting over here. I'm just going to pick one of them and not ask for the next guy on the tow rotation. Absolutely an internal training issue with the sheriff's office.
So that's going to end. That's
yeah, we have already modified our policy. We now have to have a supervisor's approval before you can skip a record. You have to do that on a traffic hazard as well. So we're involving a supervisor, and then the supervisor has to document it. That wasn't something that was done up until just very recently. So that took 3 or 4 weeks to get that policy written, because policy writing is not as easy as it sounds. Lawyers know that very well. So we got that modified, and we're doing our best to ensure that our personnel are educated. It's new for them, too. I mean, some of these guys have been chipping records for a long time, and that's the only system they know. So to get them to adhere to the new policy, get the supervisors to understand the policy, and getting everybody to read it. There's still people out there that don't know what the ordinance says.
Are there plans in the future for a live dispatcher?
No.
Not enough.
No. We're going to be encrypted, so nobody would be able to hear a dispatcher.
Is everybody encrypted? The EMS, the fire department?
Different system.
I'm sorry?
Different system.
Can they hear?
Conroe PD is encrypted, I believe. Is that right, Engel? We have not yet. We are capable of encrypting now. We just haven't chosen to do it yet. So, and the reason for that is we dispatch for every agency or every law enforcement agency other than Conroe and Conroe ISD. So because of that, we want to ensure that they have encryption-compatible radios before we encrypt. We've given them deadlines. They're struggling with their budgets in some circumstances. COVID has put them behind with their sales tax revenue. So there are a lot of reasons why, so we're trying to be as...
All right, well...
What else? What else? Is there any other?
And I, you know, when it comes to this, if this is the will of the court, this is the will of the sheriff, but just know it won't happen anytime soon, the implementation of it, because the policy hasn't been written. We are incapable of doing it because we're still working on the basics. This may be a good idea, but we would have to start all over with permitting. We would have to start all over with vehicle storage facility inspections, and we would have to start all over with a map. That is a daunting task because this is a duplication of something that we haven't even gotten figured out to do the first time, much less the second time.
Here's, I guess I have a question here in the just the scheme of things, and not directing it, attacking anybody or anything. You brought it up, Commissioner, that we've been looking at this deal for 8 years. I was involved in the House of Representatives when it hit the 84th session and the 85th session through Representative Metcalf. And we met, we had workshops, everybody got together, we talked about this stuff. You've met with people, I've met with people, we committed to put a committee together to meet with people. And it sounds to me like what we should have done was waited, was look at all these things. Okay, here's what we want to do. And rather than just launch it, make sure that our software was right, ensure that our information concerning our zones was going to work. I know we discussed all this. I was in a bunch of those discussions, and I listened to these things. But in retrospect, we had, you know, common ownership issues, that all of this, much of this could have been resolved.
Well,
had we run the traps on
it,
you know.
Not really. I mean, a lot of it we didn't know until it launched. And if we delayed it 6 months, then some of these problems absolutely would have continued to happen. We just didn't know until we tried it. It was a rip the Band-Aid off approach that whenever this was passed, the effective date was January 1st, and it's been painful.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
No question. So, but here's the deal. If this were a better program, and you're saying, well, now we got to start all over, we're taking what we already have, we're going to stumble through that until we get this into place, and this will be prolonged for another 6 months. And it seems to me, if work with me here, that we've got something here that with this and with what you're doing that still kind of needs to be put together. And I mean, it's just by what we've heard, it's like you said, it just takes time and you got to work through it. And to move this, as you said, it will take another 6 months before this is all implemented. And I got to tell you, I'm inclined to suspend the ordinance and entertain a motion to go back to the chip system until we get it right.
Judge, if we could.
I know that I didn't say I was making that motion. But we've just said here, and the sheriff, it's not your fault, it's not their fault, it's a perfect storm that has kind of come together in us trying to do what we want to do best for the safety of the public.
Well, you gave a little bit
of
history. Yeah, you gave a little bit of history there, Judge, and I respect that history. I was a captain under Sheriff Gage whenever this started. At least 4 or 5 years that we went through this process to get where we are with the pass of the legislation.
Right.
I never asked that this happen. I was surprised in court whenever it was the court handed it to me as a brand new sheriff. And so through the will of the court, we have done our best. And I feel that the ordinance that we proposed to you back during the spring of last year was better than what we passed in the summer. Some of the concessions that were made, I still disagree with, and I think we're suffering from that for this day.
Yeah.
But you go back to chipping, I think that defeats the whole issue of why we have done this to begin with, and it's for public safety.
And it's not in congruence with what the public wanted. They asked for this. They want safer roads. They want to make – I don't want to see 15 wreckers lined up on the freeway. You might want to. I don't. I don't like it. And with that, I want to call the question and proceed with Ms. Commissioner
Metz. Okay, you can call the – but I do want to comment to that. I don't want to see 15 wreckers on the side either. I was one of the House representatives worked with Will on this deal.
I just want to make sure we don't
just
go
so
backwards.
Just so you know.
Got it.
But what I don't want to do, though, is to have something that is – that Commissioner Metz and Riley have worked on that is a good thing – and that we decide to do, and then stumble through with what we're already doing, plus another 6 months to get this implemented, as you're sitting here telling us that we can't do this, isn't going to happen overnight. We can all vote for it right now, but we're going to continue with the same stuff. We're going to continue with the problems with our apps, our Android and our iOS and these other issues. And
since we got the water completely muddied up.
Well, I've called the question. I'd like to...
Yeah, we haven't called the question. Go ahead.
I would like for us to vote on Commissioner Metz's
motion. Can we have a clarification, Commissioner Metz? Are we keeping the zones and adding districts basically on top of that, or are we just going with the districts? With your motion.
The districts, he may need the zones as the way it is as radio patrol districts. He can answer that better than me. But it's just as simple as I could make it. Four districts, if you want to tow in that district, you have a lot in that district and on at least one wrecker, and it's to be approved of whatever the regulations are for them to be under there, where it's TDLR or policy from Montgomery County for that lot to be approved.
Okay.
Well, the question is,
here,
right now there are 24
at the mic.
Zones. And my understanding is you have to be... whatever zones you're in, you can be in all 24. And one storage lot per county. The question is, in using the map, going to a four districts, as you've described it, is that doing away with the 24 towing zones and consolidating to four zones, or are we keeping is your motion to keep the 24 towing zones as is, and just add the requirement
those districts.
Automobile towed within any of those zones in the district must go to a storage lot in that district. You see the difference? We need to know what your motion is so that if it passes, we can draft it.
Mine is for the district. I see you standing up, TJ. Do you have something on it?
You can make it however's easier. Sure. To the judge.
Well,
I just need to know so I can memorialize what the change or any change to the ordinance would be.
You can accomplish that, Sheriff? I don't without these districts. If you do, I'm certainly open for a suggestion.
Okay, well, okay. Here's what we have. We have called the question. We have to stop it. Commissioner Nowak has called the question.
I understand you called the question. I need a clarification as to whether we're keeping what the motion is.
We have four districts now instead of 27 zones or 24. Is that correct, Commissioner Metz?
Well, it was what is on this paper right here.
So
right?
I think the question is, do you want, is this a map of storage zones or is this a map of tow rotation zones? And I think your answer is this
Storage lots.
Storage lots.
This is a map of storage zones. Not rotation zones. So we would continue with 24 rotations, but only have these storage lots. I'm hearing a lot of buzzing. I don't know the answer.
Zones. It says consolidated tow zones.
Yes, what it says. It says consolidated tow zones.
So this motion, then...
That's okay. Go ahead.
And again, the reason we need the clarification is because the map has storage zones underneath it.
Right.
So that's why we want to avoid any... We need to know what the motion is.
I want to make it to four districts. That's what everybody approved. The four districts. Four districts.
Have four rotations?
Correct.
And if you have a lot in there, you'll have a rotation.
And the argument from the small wrecker companies all along has been, I'm in the towing business, not in the storage business. Were those your words? And so we made him get one storage lot. So now you're going to make him get four.
Sheriff Andy, with all due respect, I feel like we're still continuing to debate the topic. I've called the question. I want us to have a vote.
Well, we're in discussion on a motion in second
in calling the question, though, that calls the question.
It's over.
Okay. But to their benefit, they were clarifying the terminology.
Thank you.
Correct. Thank you, Amy. All right. The question has been called. We have a motion on the floor, and it is to move to
direct
Commissioner
the county
Mess's Appendix B.
Right. Direct the county attorney to amend the ordinance consistent with the comments Commissioner Metz made.
Got it.
That's the motion.
All right. We have a motion on the floor. All those in favor of Commissioner Metz's program, say aye.
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 Opposed.
4-1. All right, so the motion passes. Is there any other miscellaneous issues we need to take up? If not, the court will adjourn, and we have
We will be bringing back an amended ordinance.
Thank you, Amy.
I need some direction. So what do we do in the meantime? So I just stop everything that I'm doing and wait on the update?
So right now, the ordinance has not been repealed or amended. We have to bring back a recommended amended to ordinance. So it'll continue as it is until the next court, at which time we'll be able to implement those changes.
So continue as is with my implementation until a new implementation process begins with the modification of the ordinance.
Right. And
I respect the will of the court.
Thank you.
And Sheriff, thank you for that. Also, and where you can combine what you're doing right now so it will flow into the other, we have some to be thinking in that direction as well, of which I'm sure you are. I don't need to tell you that.
And this meeting?
I tried to. But this meeting, is there a second to adjourn?
Move.
All in favor? Aye.
No.
Your meeting comes next.
I know, but I can say something in miscellaneous.
Yes, you can.
All right. I was going to say this before Commissioner Nowak called for the vote. And it's muddied up. I understand. It's a screwed up mess right now. Can we suspend the ordinance now for 90 days to put this all together, then bring this back with the new tow zones and start and implement that plan?
And do the chip system.
I don't care what
we have
to
do something.
I don't care.
I would second that motion right there.
Is all appropriate action to amend, modify, or update?
That makes sense to do that.
It doesn't say suspend, but close, I mean.
What that would look like would be we have this current ordinance in place. We just voted to make some changes to the other one. There's going to be transition. What's the easiest thing to do during the transition? Commissioner Riley, correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying let's suspend the ordinance while we finalize what we need to do on
90
that
days.
And put the chip system back in place meanwhile so people don't go broke.
But part of the question is, and I guess only the sheriff can answer that, is what would be the easiest thing to do while we are drafting the amendment of the order?
I don't know that.
I'm not on the ground.
Again, we got the sheriff trying to implicate
We know what you
the said. System now, and then we're telling him to change it. He's trying to do both of them at the same time. We got to suspend one of them to make the other get the other one in place, in my opinion. Yeah. That's just how that's going
to
happen.
But you want to go back to chipping and try to get your staff now retrained to go back to and then 90 days? That's not your recommendation.
Right.
I mean,
it would be that they'd have to go back to some chip system or however.
What do
we do?
No.
That's all that we want is.
And I'm trying to help you do that.
Same.
I'm trying to figure out a way to make that happen. I don't know what they're going to let us do. All right.
Let him work on his stuff here.
Don't adjourn the meeting, please.
Okay.
Sure. Said do not adjourn.
Can we not launch this fair? Every problem you've had has been at our expense.
Here's it. Here's
the comments here.
And this is.
Yeah, here. Whoa, guys. Yeah. It's.
Let the county attorney work.
This is not a workshop. This is court. Okay, so we have to operate according to statute. So just standing up and making comments, God bless you, is not going to work. And we passed the comments. The attorneys have gone to talk about how we can possibly implement what we're trying to do here for the benefit of all. So if you'd work with us a little bit. And again, we appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah, Dale.
Hey, Commissioner.
Don't you just love me, BD? Don't you just love me, BD?
We're an open court, dude.
All right. Thank you for
Let's continue.
Thank you for the time to confer and put more than one head on this. Given the way the agenda item is noticed, it says take appropriate action to amend, modify, or update. I don't believe a suspension
is properly noticed.
That's properly noticed to suspend the ordinance
altogether.
Completely altogether. What we would recommend is that, you know, it can't really be suspended at this time. It continues coming forward. We plan on the amendments having be ready for 2 weeks from now. Then if there's going to be a problem with implementation or a time period, you can include in your motion in adopting those amendments to suspend the others, or we'll make sure that policies is included and noticed properly next time.
Okay.
That may be clear as mud, but... I don't think it's noticed sufficiently to be able to suspend the ordinance in its entirety, so we have to deal with that in 2 weeks. Right.
See that it's going to be a problem trying to do both of this at the same time.
Well, no,
we can do that in 2 weeks, suspend.
Yeah,
if that's what you want to do.
2 weeks because we didn't give notice of a possible suspension.
Yes, if it appears and y'all decide it needs to be suspended for an implementation period, then that can be included in the notice on the next session and or in any resolution on that.
If we wanted to make that emergency item for emergency meeting, we could do that, correct?
Right. As you can have a meeting with 72 hours notice.
Okay.
Friday?
Thank you.
Yep.
At 12:24?
No.
You're going to be gone.
No, let's talk about
I'm
it.
I'm here.
Move forward.
I'm good.
All right. Now, we've gone through miscellaneous. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Second. Okay. All in favor? Opposed. Motion carries. Now, Commissioner O'Reilly, you have the floor on our toll road. Montgomery County toll road.
Might want to leave, but it's still sitting through here. But they're welcome to stay if they want to. All right. We're going to call the meeting to the Montgomery County toll